Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to be reading in the New King James. Let's jump in. And one of the things that, let me pull this over here. This morning as we read, I just want to encourage you to proceed with caution. Proceed with caution. From today moving forward, let's proceed with caution. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. One of the things that blessed me this week was being able to hear Pastor Chris's message from last week, and it fired me up. I love the way that he set the table for how we're going to be moving forward for the rest of our study. And so I thought it would be just great for him to just remind us of what he challenged us with last week. Pastor Chris.
Gosh. Yeah, so we've been studying the Sermon on the Mount, and so Jesus is telling us the ways of the kingdom. And so now that we're in Matthew chapter 7, he's concluding this sermon, this speech on this hillside, and he's now telling us the way that we enter into the kingdom. So last week he told us about the narrow gate that leads to the narrow road that leads to life, and then he told us that there's a wide road that leads to destruction, that everyone's on. That way is easy. And he said, the only way into the kingdom is to enter into the narrow gate. So he told us that's the only way into the kingdom, the narrow gate. And now today, what he's telling us is that, hey, we got to watch out for these false teachers that are going to be telling us other ways that we could potentially get to the kingdom.
Absolutely.
So he's saying, hey, as we're trying to get into the kingdom, as we're pursuing the Lord, we need to be careful what people we're listening to.
Yep.
But I gave the idea, the imagery of these little participation trophies. And so we like to think of our faith sometimes in this, hey, I just prayed a prayer, now I'm in the kingdom. And I tried to help us understand that's not what Jesus outlays in how we enter into the kingdom. It can be, and it does happen in this instant moment where you surrender your life in a prayer to the Lord. But it's more than just, I'm just going to pray so that I can get out of hell and I don't care how I live my life now because I prayed this prayer. I've received my participation trophy. I can get into heaven now.
Yep.
It's deeper than that. It's deeper than just this one-up prayer that we pray and it doesn't affect our lives. Jesus is saying real faith. We have to enter into that narrow gate and then we have to walk that narrow road through life and it's going to be difficult. And so for us, as people who have entered the narrow gate, if it's difficult for you, that's a good sign.
Yep, absolutely.
That's a good sign. And so I tried to help us understand with three things why participation trophy faith is dangerous. And the first one was that when we think of our faith just as in the way of a participation trophy, it's just self-consumed.
Yep.
Everything about my relationship with Jesus is about me. The way I go to church, oh, well, it didn't bless me. I didn't get anything out of it. Me, me, me. It's about convenience. How can I fit Jesus into my life? Real faith is we try to immerse ourselves in Jesus, not just fit him into our lives where it's convenient. So participation trophy is self-consuming. The second thing was that we've embraced no-cost Christianity, that our faith doesn't cost us anything. Man, Jesus says that if we're going to follow him, that he says that you need to deny yourself. You need to pick up your cross and follow him daily. That's going to cost us something. And at the very least, it's going to cost me what I want to do, right? I mean, my sinful urges, Jesus is calling us to be able to lay those down, to follow him. So, but that's not participation trophy faith, man. I just prayed a prayer. So if I prayed a prayer, I'm good.
You're good to go, man.
Man, that's danger. And the third thing is that we've embraced a wrong understanding of hell. Right? We see hell as just this place that's just bad. It's hot. It's punishment. That's where the devil and the demons are going to be, and I don't want to be there. And if I say a prayer, then I can get out of that. So I'm going to say a prayer, and I've gotten my trophy. Mm-hmm. And so that's not the way that this works. You don't say a prayer to just escape hell. We're surrendering our lives because of how good God is. Real faith is that, man, we don't have it perfect, but real faith is that we've been amazed by who God is and what he's done on the cross for us, that we want to be able to learn to follow him each day. And because our faith is in him, he does take the punishment of hell for us. But we don't just try to escape hell just by saying a participation trophy faith prayer. So.
Awesome. Man, that's good stuff. And so one of the things that Chris laid out is I love how he did the comparison of twos for the rest of the chapter. He said two paths, two gates, two, that's three, four. Okay, my math is off. Two paths, two gates, two trees, and two home builders. There's only two options. And even as he was talking, isn't it amazing that it doesn't say that there's this narrow strip and there's this wide strip and then there's a median down the middle and you get to walk with a foot in each one. You get what I'm saying? And what's happened over the last 20 years in the church is we've made that median strip in the gray area the majority of what goes on, and that's not biblical. So what I want to do as we move forward this morning, and I want to remind you that especially after him laying the groundwork, we need to proceed with caution. I hope you'll understand why. Just some quick information from the time and the place in history that we're studying here. Grapes and figs were among the most valuable and consumed fruits of the earth at the time. So what would be two local fruits around here that are hot commodities during the right season? Apples. What else? Yeah, there we go. Apples and peaches, okay? So this is kind of what, it wasn't any surprise when he started talking about grapes and figs because they were the deal. At the same time, thorns and thistles were considered troublesome to harvesters of all types. And if you look at the region and the way that bramble bushes and thorns and thistles and thorny things grow in this region, it was a common comparison. Sheep and wolves were common animals at the time. It was a primarily agricultural community, so they were very familiar. Unlike a lot of us, you might not know anybody that raises sheep or that has sheep. Now, we have somebody in the church, so if you want to do a little study, you can go over there and you can hang out. You can hang out with some sheep. But most of us have not been around wolves in the wild. And so when he's using this comparison between sheep and wolves, they were very familiar with these animals and what was going on here. So let's look at some word explanations from the original language. With that said, let's look at the Greek. I just want to jump through some word meanings here. So let's take the terms false prophets. In the original language, it means, and I want you to pay attention here, because when I read this, it kind of blew my mind what the Greek for this these words false prophets mean. One who, acting the part of a divinely inspired prophet, utters falsehoods under the name of divine prophecies. A religious imposter. So think about that. That's a powerful definition of what it's referring to when it says false prophets. So acting like an inspired prophet, uttering falsehoods the whole time, surrounding and using prophecies. Whew. Let's look at the term ravenous wolves. In examination of the Greek, it intrigued me because another word for ravenous is rapacious. And when it's talking about ravenous, it uses the word rapacious in a literal sense. But then in regards to the wolf, when you look at the definition, the same word is also used in a metaphorical sense. Cruel, greedy, rapacious, and destructive men. So I'm like, hey, I'm not familiar with that word. My vocabulary is increasing, and so I went to look, and I found out it was an adjective. And let me give you the three meanings of rapacious. Having or showing a strong or excessive desire to acquire money or possess things. Just simply put, greedy. Number two, living by killing prey, especially in large numbers. Number three, taking things by force or plundering. There's so many scriptures that deal with false teachers and false prophets, and I'm not going to go into all those from Genesis to Revelation. Let me just say, if you want to know more about proceeding with caution, and this intrigues you a little bit, it's an easy study. You can go, you can pull up a lot of verses, you can look at a lot of scripture on false prophets and false teaching. One last word that I want to mention here is when it talks about the word fruits. In this verse, this is the meaning of the word fruits as applied to this passage. It says, used of men's deeds as exponents of their hearts. So what you do, the way you live out, based on what's really going on inside. So let's just kind of put these together. And let me just give you an idea. Some of you have seen little images on the internet of a wolf, and it's like got this sheep skin and this head hanging over the wolf. That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about something where you go, you just easily look and go, I see you. No, that's not what we're talking about here. It's not easily identifiable. The idea is that it looks like a sheep, smells like a sheep, sounds like a sheep, and acts like a sheep in many ways, but the outside is simply a covering or a facade. The inward reality of the person is that they are genuinely a wolf. They function as to act the part of a divinely inspired prophet while uttering falsehood, while using the prophecies to deceive. Their motives are selfish. They're greedy in excess for money and possessions, and they will plunder or take things by force, just like taking prey in large numbers. This may sound like a really simple, basic thing, but I just want to say that truth, there is still eternal truth here functionally on this planet. And certain truths, you have to understand certain truths in order to be able to get your hands around certain things and to understand certain things. Let me give you an example. You need to understand the truth about these two creatures. You need to know some truth about how a sheep functions and how a wolf functions. One is a predator and one is not. You need to know some truth about these animals and how they function. The truth about these two fruits. There are some specific truths about grapes, and there are specific truths about figs. There are truths about the two types of non-fruit-bearing bushes, the thorn bush and the bramble bush. You need to understand some truth, some details, have some understanding if you're going to be able to put all of this together. The truth about sowing and reaping, or in another way we could say it, the harvest. You need to understand that there's truths, there's principles in place, and the truth about two outcomes. So, we live in God's creation. Whether you acknowledge it, believe it, or embrace it, this cosmos was created by Him, and so guess what? He created it, and He gets to establish the laws, the rules, the guidelines, and the truth. And I want to say, because I believe that this needs to be said over and over again, especially in our current culture, truth is eternally important. Because God's truth is not going to change. It's not going to go away. And matter of fact, when we stand before Him, it will be His standard, His truth, His reality that we will give an account for. Not our own. So it matters. Truth matters. John chapter 17. I'm going to read an Amplified Bible. John chapter 17, verse 15 through 19. And this is Jesus in His prayer. Now we studied and we called it the example prayer. Well, it says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. A lot of you learned that. And praise God you learned that when you were a kid. That's an example prayer for us. If you want to know the Lord's Prayer, read John chapter 17. So this is John chapter 17. These are the words of Jesus. And in the Amplified Bible, it says, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them and protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. In other words, set them apart for your purposes, make them holy. Your word is truth. Just as you commissioned and sent me into the world, I also have commissioned and sent them, believers, into the world. For their sake, I sanctify myself to do your will, so that they also may be sanctified, set apart, dedicated, and made holy in your truth. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Once again, Jesus talking, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible. I love the way the wording is here. Verse 31. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him. So these are Jews that had believed Jesus' words, his teaching. If you abide in my word, look what it says, continually obeying my teachings and living in accordance with them, then, do you understand? We're not talking about participation trophy faith. I ask Jesus to jump in my heart. Now everything's good. I can go live my own way, do my own thing, and I am guaranteed God is bound to let me into heaven regardless of what I say, do, or think because I ask Jesus to jump into my heart. That's not what the scripture says. It says, by continually obeying my teachings, living in accordance with them, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth regarding salvation, and the truth will set you free from the penalty of sin, not just one time, but moving forward. Now, this is what I want to ask you when we're talking about fruits. We're going to transition to the fruits. I want you to think about this. I want you to look at fruits, especially because of our current culture. So hang with me if this doesn't make sense. Hopefully it'll come together. Our current cancel culture, I think it's important for us to look at fruits, and I want to use this term as a body of work. So think about that. Fruits here as the body of work. So what I mean by that is a singular piece of bad fruit, but the body of work, the harvest is beautiful. So you take an apple tree or you take a peach tree. And you can have this amazing tree that's producing amazing fruit, but you may have one piece of fruit on there that's just kind of like, meh. Okay, we're not going to put that one in the bushel. We're going to kind of leave that one on the side, feed it to the goats, you know, whatever you're going to do with it. You get what I'm saying? And so as a body of work, fruits, here's what we do in our society now. You can have somebody that their body of work is absolutely incredible, and it's beautiful, and it's amazing, but one slip, one wrong word, one wrong situation where somebody catches it on camera or they get a recording of it, and that one piece of failure, that one piece of boo-boo, that one mistake cancels out the whole body of work, the whole harvest. All the fruit. And then on the other hand, I want to mention this. Let me just say it this way, that a singular piece may appear to be acceptable, but the body of work is rotten and ugly. I've seen so many people and I've heard so many people do that just the opposite. They're struggling. They watch the fruit of somebody's labors. They watch how they're living. They watch what they do, their deeds, their attitude, and they see what they're doing, and they cling to one time, I saw a good piece of fruit. One piece of fruit, but the body of work is corrupt and bad and ungodly, but they hang on to that one time I saw a good piece of fruit. Are you tracking with me? And so there's incredible wisdom that's needed in this process and what Jesus has challenged us to. And he says, therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. So I want to ask you this morning, what are the fruits of a godly leader? Because I think it's important. We've got to be really careful about hypocritical, ungodly. And the word here, when it says bad, the word in the language is corrupt. So they appear to be a sheep, but inwardly, inside, they're ravenous wolves. What it's saying is that they're still corrupted. They haven't been cleansed. They have not experienced the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So, therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. A phrase used here, this is a meaning. to become acquainted with, to know thoroughly, to know accurately, or to know well. Here we are. We're back to judging properly and discerning by the outcomes or the deeds or the results or of a man's or woman's investment. I'm going to say this a couple times. I hope you get it. Knowing God's truth increases the level of discernment with which we can function in life. Knowing God's truth increases the level of discernment with which we can function in life. Excuse me, I have a moment here. We're making eye contact. This is the best squirrel moment ever. Oh, she's grinning at everybody else now. That's awesome. She's like, oh, yeah, it's going on. Okay, Kennedy. Kennedy. Oh, that's good. Sorry, just had to take a break there for a second. Where were we? Oh, yeah, 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 that's it. That's cool. I think. Is that where we were? Good. So I want you to think about this. And I just want to throw this out there. Praise God for Matt Chandler. For Michael Todd, for all these pastors. And let me just say, and even if you're watching today, watching us, let me just say this, that we need to proceed with caution about who influences our lives. And let me just say this, it's amazing for, I'm so thankful for technology and all the blessings and how it can be used for God's glory in the gospel. But let me just say this. Just because you listen to somebody or you like their teaching or you like the way that their service goes or you like what goes on does not make them your shepherd, your pastor, your overseer, or the one that invests in your life. Because the scripture is saying here that we should be confident because of a relational interaction to where that you can look at somebody's life and you can see their deeds, you can see the fruits, the body of work of what they're doing, and you can know, you can be confident because of what you're seeing lived out in their life because there's nothing to hide. And I just want to say this. If you're new to the faith, then praise God, you probably don't understand this, and I don't want to change anything. So just put your fingers in your ears right now. But if you've been around the church for any period of time, or if you've watched things, what's happened is that we've created this culture that we call church because we've created these big business opportunities to where now pastors and leaders are not necessarily shepherds anymore. They're aloof, they're removed, and very few people even know exactly what's going on in their lives. And it's hard to know how they're living. Let me just tell you something. That's not the kind of church family we're trying to be. And since the very beginning, when we started meeting at the Stone Chapel over in Standardsville, what we have strived to be is a family that we are just living our lives together. And you see me, you know me. I'm not trying to hide anything. And let me just say this. If you're trying to keep people from knowing the real you, I'm just telling you, that's not the kind of Christianity we're pursuing together. I'm not talking about your personality is private and you like to keep your stuff to yourself. That's not what I'm talking about. If you've got a guard or a barrier up and you're trying to be one way, one place, and a different way, another place, and you don't want to let people close to you because you know that if you do, over a period of time, they're going to figure out there's some fake stuff going on, that's not God's plan for the way we're supposed to live together. Now, if that makes some of you uncomfortable, then just embrace the rub, okay? Because like Matt Chandler said, man, he fired me up. I tried to high-five Chris the first service. He's like, man, because we understand the fear of what we're walking in. And we fear God. But think about this. That we've gotten to the point in our culture because we're just supposed to attend. We're just supposed to show up. It's like going to old-school movie theater. We drive our car in, you know, put a little money in, get our ticket, put the thing on. Watch a movie at the drive-thru, then we leave. Hey, listen, it's okay to be, come and see and to watch. As you come and you check things out, you're like, man, those people are kind of crazy. I'm not sure I want to connect there. Okay, I'm getting it. But if you stay around for a while, this is not a spectator family. What we're going to do is we're going to do our best to keep moving you closer and moving you closer to Jesus and deeper. And what that means is at some point, you're going to begin to let people in and you're going to participate with people and they're going to get to know the real you. Because listen, we should be allowing people in our lives. And I'll just say this. If there's somebody that they find out your junk, they find out your struggles, and they condemn you, they throw stones at you, or they hurt you in this process, you come talk to me, and I'll go take care of it. And some of you know, like, oh, he will. Because that's our job as leaders, to protect the flock, because we're not trying to be the kind of family. What we should be able to come do is when somebody confesses, says, I'm struggling with this, you go, hey, man, I got you. You have no idea where I'm coming from. I feel you. Let me show you how God has been working my life. Let me show you how God has helped me overcome this issue, how God has helped me overcome this addiction, whatever, so that we can stand next to one another and help one another. So what is the definition of fruits here? What's the definition of fruits that we're looking at? I'm not going to give you an answer. I'll give you some suggestions, and you can figure it out. But when we're looking at good fruits, if you go back to Matthew chapter 5, look at up the verses leading up to verse 15, the qualities of the upside-down kingdom of heaven, Father God's kingdom, Matthew chapter 5 lays down some of the fruit that you should be seeing in the people that are influencing you. Let me ask you this. What's the body of work? What's the fruit, the body of work that you see from me? Let me just say this openly. Yes, it's scrutinizing pressure, but I invite you, that's the way leadership should be. You should be able to look at my attitude. You should be able to look at my decisions. You should be able to look at what I do, the things that I invest in, the way that I live my life. And you should be able to know whether there's good, godly, eternal, kingdom-living fruit or it's corrupt fruit. And I make no apologies for that. That's what's scary for all of us. And we have a growing, huge team of leaders and influencers in this church family. But that's what should be expected. Just reality. Because what we're talking about is a wolf that actually looks like a sheep. My fear, and we're heading into some serious verses next Sunday. So if you think this is bad, don't come next Sunday. I want to encourage you. It's going to get worse. I mean, just like the scariest passages in the Bible, it's like, okay. Because it's for real. People didn't get it on this side. They got on the other side. Bad news on that side. One of the two outcomes was not good for this group. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't know about you. I don't want to be a part of that. So what he's saying here is that we have to proceed with caution. But you have to know. Can I tell you what every single person in here has in common? If you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and if you've said, please forgive me, change me, I want you to be a part of my life, and you're even in any shape, form, or fashion, have a desire in taking baby steps, you know what we all have in common here? Struggle with the word and struggle with prayer. You want to know why? Because the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's amazing. It's eternal. And when you get into it, it creates within you naturally a level of discernment so that you can see and understand and know what is corrupt and what is good, godly fruit. So what would be another definition of fruit? Christ-likeness, reflecting the heart and mind of our Lord Jesus. You know what you should expect from me? Christ-likeness. And when I talk about passages that we're talking about, you know why I'm honest with you? Because a lot of this Sermon on the Mount stuff that we've been going through in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 has been excruciating for me personally. I don't like it. It is not comfortable. And I don't just go like, oh my word, this is so good. I'm like, Because it's hard. Because of my nature. I was talking to somebody last week, and they're like, we're talking about a struggle. And they're like, well, Pastor Tim, you just don't know the challenges and what I want to say and what I want to do. I'm like, seriously? You're talking to me about people problems? And you're telling me I don't understand? Yeah, I do. Oh, but Pastor Tim, no, I struggle with wanting to punch people. If you knew how many times I want to run my mouth something fierce. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor Tim, that wasn't very pastoral. You know what my response is? If you knew what I was thinking, you'd think that was holy. Some of you are like, I can't believe you're in the leadership. Me neither. Well, in the same boat, we ain't agreeing on that. Praise the Lord. Fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit's holy work, working in our lives. Galatians talks about these fruits of the Spirit. But this is what I want you to focus on, and this is what's more important now than ever before. I believe that one of these fruits that we should see is always, throughout the whole New Testament, it's the gospel message. The good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of sin. Anytime you see any person, whether it's a spiritual leader or not, that moves away from the power of regenerating work of the gospel message and makes it about something else. Man, I'm all about helping people. But the social gospel will not transform anybody's life for eternity. We believe in the gospel and we do social things to make an impact because we've been changed from the inside out. There's a sequence of events. If you're listening to somebody that begins to undermine the authority of Scripture, that gets you to question in Scripture, and that moves away like there's another gospel, that there's another way to heaven, let me just tell you something. That's not godly good fruit. Are you tracking with me? So, as followers of Christ, we should not be afraid for people to know the real us. As leaders of Christ's church, we should not be afraid for people to know the real us. We should not be trying to hide from others, and I am not, and I will not be somebody that's trying to cover over, fake, or hide. Some of you that have been in our marriage and parenting classes, you've heard some of the dirt from our struggles. I love when somebody that just starts coming, they're sitting in our home, and we're having a class, and they're like, whoa, Pastor Tim, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, I'm a man. I'm a struggling person trying to learn the ways of Christ. And we talk openly, and what I have found is that it invigorates and gives people courage and strength because they realize that we're all in this together. But I want us to proceed with caution. Who's the number one influencer in your life right now, spiritually? Are you intentional? Have you been lazy? Have you fallen asleep? What are you doing to learn and be intentional about genuine eternal truth being a part of your grid so that you can know what's going on in the people around you? Let me ask you. Are you focused on eternity and eternal truth or just earthly stuff, what works for you today and makes you feel good? I say, Pastor Tim, hey, I didn't preach this. I'm just trying to pass along what Jesus said with a little bit of my understanding of what is going on inside of me. Jesus said, beware. Proceed with caution. And we need to show to a lost world just the genuineness of our faith. Like Matt Chandler said, I love the way he said it. You know why we played that? Because he said it so much better than I can. I've said it a bunch of different ways through the years. I'm not trying to create morally good, perfect, I'm better than you people. That's not what Jesus did. He said, those of you that need a doctor, come to me. You need medical help spiritually, in a spiritual sense. We are supposed to be a spiritual hospital. Helping people that sometimes you need IVs. Sometimes you need transfusions. Sometimes you just need a Band-Aid. Need somebody to kiss your boo-boo. Just come alongside of you. But let's be people that understand. And we can see and be sensitive to a wolf in sheep's clothing. And let's just say, that's not the kind of church family we're striving to be. We're striving to be honest, open, transparent, real, and genuine. Because on that level, we can embrace the forgiveness of the cross and be on an equal plane to encourage one another. So, Father, you do in us what you need. We want the gospel to go forward, Father. We want to lift up your Son. And so help us to guard the voices, the messages, the people that influence us. And God, I ask that you would bring revival, that you would bring an awakening, that you would do great and mighty things, and that you would energize this church family, that you would energize church families all over this region, that we would genuinely know your voice, that we'd be intentional about knowing your truth, and God, that you would help us to guard ourselves. In Jesus' name, your Son, we ask. Amen.